morning show at 5:20 a.m. WAUK 101 FM, the Shaw on the line, Professor Bob Harvey. Let's go to the phone lines. Who do we have on the line, Luke?
Yeah, we got Susan in her car calling in now, Earl.
Hey, Susan, how are you doing? Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Oh, yes, you're welcome. I'm in loving your new show format. I do listen to it almost every day. And Professor K, I appreciate so much you give us this history lesson, because as we know that history is not taught this way in depth in most high schools. They just touch on a few things. So I'm really so happy to hear that, because there's a lot of questions we all have about this Ukrainian, Russia, and United States, and NATO that you've been answering. So I greatly appreciate that,
Professor Harvey.
I mean, it's a very, you know, complicated history, as you well know. A lot of the formation of the Eastern Bloc countries that's between Germany and the Soviet Union were built after World War One, when they were forming the Treaty of Versailles. And Wilson was one of Wilson's brainchilds to get a lot of the Slavic people to have their own homeland. And then, of course, what Stalin did when he came to power was to try to figure out a way to protect Soviet borders, because he knew that at some point Hitler was going to come after him. And so he worked his tail off between 1929 and 1953 to create a buffer. And he swallowed up the Baltic states of, Latvia and Lithuania and Estonia, which is in the western part of the Soviet Union. He wanted to create that buffer. And then he swallowed up, the Ukraine and Belarus and other countries to create that buffer. And then when Hitler invaded Germany in 1939, Stalin also attacked Poland. The Polish people, fought a gallant fight for 6 weeks, and they were holding their own. They were trying to hold on until England and France could figure out a way to come to their aid. And next thing that the British and the French knew was that Hitler, that Stalin had attacked the Polish people from the east. So here Poland was fighting off the Germans, fighting it for everything that they had, and then Stalin stabs them in the back and invades. And what Germany and Russia ended up doing in 1939 was carving Poland up. Hitler had a half of the country, two-thirds of the country, and Russia had the other third. So they just swallowed little Poland up. Despite their gallant efforts, they were pretty much wiped out and conquered. And both the Germans and the Russians did some atrocious things to the Polish people. What they suffered under them was just unbelievable. We know that the Jews suffered heavily, but so did a lot of the Polish people. And so at the close of World War II, the Allies, England and France and the United States, and then in 1955, West Germany joins NATO. And when they did that, the Soviet Union immediately set up the Warsaw Pact organization. And the Warsaw Pact organization was called the Warsaw Treaty Organization. They immediately decided that they were going to bring East Germany in. They brought in Albania and Bulgaria and Czechoslovakia, Hungary, Poland, Romania, and the Soviet Union. They made up that Warsaw Pact Treaty Organization to counter NATO. And so thus you had, by 1955, and this is 2 years after the death of Stalin, but this was a vision that Stalin had, to swallow up land and oppress people. And, of course, when the Soviet Union fell in 1991, and that this Warsaw Treaty Organization declined or failed and shut down, pretty much a lot of those countries, including Poland and Bulgaria and others, you know, wanted to make sure that they were protected. So they joined, they petitioned to join NATO. And pretty much between 1991, actually started in 84, but between 1991 all the way up through until just a couple of, about a decade ago, those countries, it grew from 19 all the way up now today to 30. And those countries, and this is why I say that those countries, many of them are well aware of what happened in World War II when they did nothing. You can't stand by and let a bully decide, no matter how much the cost is, it's cheaper to stop him now than it is for him to get entrenched.
So Professor Harvey, there are many who will say, we understand that, why am I forgetting his name, the president of Russia. What's his name again?
Putin.
Yeah. Putin. Yeah, Putin. Why in the world, then, Professor Harvey, you know, so Putin, everybody doesn't know, but many of us know that he's never accepted what happened to USSR. And he remembers well. And he remembers the United States reveling in the unraveling of USSR. And he hasn't accepted the fact that, you know, the precipice that it was on, and he wants that back. Well, they're never going to get that back.
Well, they took back Crimea, which is, you know, down into the Black Sea, and they had the large port there of Odessa. You know, so that, you know, he got that back. And he did it under the Obama administration. Obama wanted to do something about it, but when you look at a map, and I told people, I looked at that map and I saw it, everybody was screaming and yelling, go do something. What was he going to put in there? First of all, he couldn't get no ships in there because he had to go through the Straits of Turkey, that isthmus, to go through that little small narrow opening and then get into the Black Sea. And the bottom line is that you can drop an airborne unit and never, how are you going to get them out? You know, so it was a mission impossible. But now that you've got Bulgaria and some of the others that have joined NATO, you have access to land masses where you can go in and send troops in there. And then, of course, when Germany finally united and the Berlin Wall came down in the early 90s, then you got a whole complete Germany. The United States, of course, having about 30,000 people there, including at least a full armored division and an infantry division there. You got those forces in there. And an American infantry division is a very powerful, large force.
Professor Harvey, are you saying then that the president of the United States, Joe Biden, by saying we're not sending troops in is an error? Because he clearly is getting information from the Joint Chiefs of Staff. So are they all missing the point?
Well, I'm willing to bet you that some of those Joint Chiefs of Staff who understand history very well are telling him to send them. I've never seen a general, including Colin Powell or any other general, that didn't want to involved to send troops. That's why they wear the uniform, Earl. And I'm willing to bet you that the majority of them will say, you know, send somebody in there. Let's go. You know, and those are generals. And I know the rank and file and the foot soldiers. I know how we think. Telling them, you know, keep your mouth shut and I just want to stay in the barracks. Those guys want to go because they know the cost. If he gets entrenched in the Ukraine, next is going to be, well, he already has Belarus and the northern large landmass, and you know that little Latvia, Lithuania, and Estonia, who are now part of NATO, they are scared to death. And Poland will never forget. They are part of NATO, too. That's why they joined. It alarmed the Soviet leadership, but they joined. Now, I know what Putin is doing. He's also trying to secure a buffer between him and the West, because he knows he doesn't have a alliance with folks. He also knows that he has to do business, you know, because of the oil. Russia has all that oil, and they are holding a lot of European countries in the West hostage because he can turn the faucet off.
Professor Harvey, hold that thought. Hold that thought. We've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.